I will start off a little bit in Romans 4, starting with verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Justified, made righteous. We believe that it is accounted for righteous. We believe and it is accounted for righteousness. Christ's vicarious sacrificial death for our sins was proof of our justification when God raised him from the dead. Mm-hmm. And we have peace mm-hmm. with God.
Amen.
So, peace with God is a real blessing. The Word talks about it so often in the many forms and ways that we have peace with God. That without peace with God, we had only to fear the dread of judgment coming one day. This justification gives us much joy and peace along with assurance of our salvation. God's right arm provided our acquittal. Christ, who knew no sin, died to take away our sin, and that we might have the righteousness of God that through Christ's death and his atoning blood. And it is the blood that we acknowledge in having that power. It wasn't only the blood, but the death and the resurrection that was proof that we have been and are justified. So we have peace by faith in his blood day by day. This is a way, some of the ways we have peace is we rest on his word all the day. We delight to do the Father's will as Christ did. We need to feel this peace. I had a friend once, he said, I feel my peace has left me. And he knew what it was to have God's peace in his heart. And he knew what it was when it wasn't there. So knowing the peace of God is always near is a great way to have peace in our hearts. Just live in a perfect love without fear. 1 John 4:18. We don't have to try to justify ourselves. We rest in the Day of Atonement as in the Old Testament. And Brother Tim mentioned that earlier today. In that Day of Atonement, they rest. There was no work. And that's how it is with us with justification. Mm-hmm. We need Amen. Not try or push to justify ourselves. What we need to do is have an attitude of such appreciation for his love and goodness towards us, in that we were sinners and yet Christ died for us, that we, out of desire and delight to please him, do the things we do only out of love for him.
Mm. Amen.
And I know all the things that I will talk about that you've heard and you know. So you can be listening to these things in these verses 1 through 11. And if there's a point that you want to bring up or stress at the end, I'll be eager to hear your comments. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be ye thankful. Colossians chapter 3. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this love, this peace of God, transcends all understanding, because it's so amazing that we can have such a blessed gift as that, that knowing that all eternity will be with him and appreciating his loving kindness that he had to us. The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever.
Amen.
The one who believed, Jesus said, your faith saved you. Go in peace. He wants us always to go in peace and know that we're not at enmity with our God. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. How about that? In all times and in every way. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Consider the blameless, it says in Psalm 37:37. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. Because of faith in Jesus, we are introduced into God's divine favor, such as privileges of sonship, being his friend, joint heirs with Christ, and children of the Most High God by adoption. He chose us. Saints, laborers with God,
amen,
given a great inheritance, and the glory which thou gavest me, Jesus said, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. We truly stand in the grace of God, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And part of that rejoicing in that glory is rejoicing in seeing all of his purposes accomplished and seeing his mighty works being done someday to all fulfillment. And we get to share in that. We were children of wrath, but he who has begun a good work in us will perform it. Psalm 118 says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Mm-hmm. So it is our duty to rejoice in the hope by which we have been called. Be strong and take heart, it says in Psalm 31. All of you who hope in the Lord. Praise to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is a living hope. It is one that we rejoice in. There are benefits of suffering. Now, looking at verses 3 through 5, we can boast that while we go through trials, we count it all joy, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Mm-hmm. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we see that it's not because of trials, but that in trials, that we can have our inner peace and joy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And know that he is with us. He's never far from us. We rejoice in to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. If we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So whatever the situation is, that we can rejoice that we were counted worthy.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans 5, knowing the tribulations works patience. I think this is the fifth. But knowing tribulations works patience, or you could say endurance or perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Job and his trials proved him. And we are proved in our trials also. God said that he held fast to his integrity, Job did. And even though God moved against him because of Satan, It proves his fear of God, his faith in God, and his hatred for evil.
Mm-hmm.
So trials work a great work in us. Many things. We know a lot more about ourselves when we've been put through the iron furnace.
Yeah.
And see how we react. Our experiences of God delivering us through many difficulties and temptations builds our faith and hope in God. We see our faith as well placed and that it does not deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
He is always a faithful God to us. But can you look and think in your life how God has delivered you through things, and you look and say, yes, God got me through that, and he'll get me through much more before it's all through.
Mm.
We will
Amen.
Not be disappointed. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. So again, in this section, it really shows a great deal of God's unquestionable love for us in everything that he's done, such as giving us the Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't be alone, that we wouldn't be orphans, that we'd have a comforter and a counselor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It says, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is how Paul ends towards in Corinthians. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Galatians, and because you are sons, God sent his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So we have a Spirit that gives us great communion with our Father and helps us to cry out and acknowledge God's great love for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and steadfast. It enters into the sanctuary behind the curtain. This hope, does it anchor you? Does it give you strength in your day?
Mm-hmm.
Is it certain?
Amen.
In verse 6 of this section, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, without strength, we had nothing to do with it. I read in one place it said, God likes to wait until it's a dead lift before he does anything. That's for maybe if Evan was here, the weightlifter and so forth, he'd acknowledge a dead lift is you're not given any help at all. And that's God. So, but God proves his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When he died on the cross, he was looking down and seeing sinful men at the moment he was dying. And yet, he continued to stay on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We were his creation, but that's about all we could say about it, ourselves. For we were traitors, ungodly, hopeless to save ourselves. God could have just disposed of us.
Yes, that's right.
And compare the thought of Christ dying for the ungodly with this verse. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laying down his life for his friends. For his friends. How much more for his enemies?
Mm.
What a paradox.
Yes, amen.
But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In other words, it was to our well-being that he took all of our punishment, all for our well-being. Truly, he was a deliverer, and he is today. Here in his love, not that God loved us, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. This is love.
Mm-hmm.
It says in Deuteronomy, for the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Again, he waits until, you know, the law was set 400 years, and it's proving that man couldn't do it. Man was given an opportunity to show, can you justify yourself by following the law? And no man could. Then and only then, in perfect timing, did God send his son.
Yes.
When we were totally without help, totally without any way of seeing that we could save ourselves, then that's when God sent his son. Mm-hmm. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 7. A righteous person is like an innocent man. A fleshly man will look upon some innocent man maybe being judged harshly and so forth, and may only have just pity on him. But for a good man, one who has maybe good deeds and is useful, and it says by even chance that a man would even dare to die. Did you know there's a case in the Word of God in Romans 16 where it tells of Priscilla and Aquila, and this is what Paul says about them, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. So here's one that would risk their lives for Paul. But it's a rare, very rare situation. What makes the sacrifice of Christ so paradoxical is that he underwent it for sinners. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. In other words, the just for the unjust. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. This is verse 8 now.
Amen.
And some verses to go along with that. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. His righteousness. I'll say it again. Sin reigned unto death. We were going to die. But grace, because of God's grace, and through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it much more abounds. It's interesting, in chapter 5, there's five times it says much more.
Uh-huh. Amen.
The law came so the trespass would increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Verse 9. Much more, then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. In other ways, how much more, therefore? You know, it was talking about he commended his love towards while we were yet sinners. But we are saved from that wrath to come. This whole section now is the benefits of righteousness that we receive. And we receive salvation from that wrath to come. I don't know about you, but I actually woke up, I think it was this morning, I was thinking about hell, and you know, it's a thing that we don't have to dwell on and think about, but it is a frightful thing to disobey God and to think that God is very serious about the sending of his son.
Amen.
His son. And the punishment is a very great punishment. His great severity.
His wrath.
That's right. We want to avoid his wrath. Mm-hmm. Much more, much good. If then God's superhuman love reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son when we were still his enemies, what assurance may we not now feel being no longer at enmity, but being saved from wrath? In other words, we can be assured that, you know, if he made us righteous and justified, that we don't have to worry about that. All by what Christ has done. All through grace. Mm-hmm. Christ's death was an atonement. For in it we are conceived as having died with him to our old man, dead to the old man. His resurrection was an introduction to a new life to God, in which with him we live. In other words, we live because of Christ. Our life is in Christ. Mm-hmm. Without Christ,
amen.
We will not exist except in damnation. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we will be saved by his life. So at his weakest point, we were reconciled, brought back to God, acquitted of our sin. Much more, being reconciled, will we be saved now by his life. And we know that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all. Christ's love.
Amen.
The living Lord of all will complete the purpose of his dying love by saving all believers to the uttermost. The word talks about saved to the uttermost. Who is there to condemn us? For Christ who died, and more than that, was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. So if he reconciled us to God by his death, how much more will he save us and be an advocate for us? Therefore, being able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for us. That's Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save completely those who draw near to God through Christ. Mm-hmm. My little children, I am writing you these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Verse 11. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
We joy and knowing that we've received this. In addition to everything else, another version that says, we are happy because God sent our Lord Jesus Christ to make peace with us. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And to end, not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we rejoice in the hope, as it says in verse 2. And praise God that he has done such a wonderful thing by giving us by faith into the grace, that he did such an unbelievable thing. As we were without strength, we were sinners, we were traitors. But this is something that through all eternity, we're going to acknowledge that he did this very unbelievable, unusual, unasked for, because we knew we didn't deserve it. We would have been too guilty to even ask for it, knowing mm-hmm. really our guilt. But he gave it because he's a loving God.
Amen.
An unbelievable loving God. Your comments, I mean, you can read your way, other things you want to maybe draw out of this.
Amen. I really appreciated the pointing out the much more. this is really a joyful thankfulness for undeserved mercy and favor to us by God. It's just something we just have to stand in awe and be amazed at His love demonstrated this way. But it's so good to hear it again and just think about it.
He said that we didn't have anything going for us other than that we were His creation. We were without strength. It was for His sake that He did it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And also, where it talks about, you know, much more will be saved by His life. I guess I hadn't really thought of that in relation to Him being the mediator for, you know, we have an advocate with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And if He forgave us once, then He wants to forgive us again if we've fallen. He wants to bring us back.
Mm-hmm. To the uttermost.
He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
And forever will. Why don't we stand and have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father,